We're all children of a special treat, a miracle of nature that we just call wheat. A crop that's in the Bible, a crop that's in our bread, a crop that's filled our bellies and held us in good stead. Through a history of starvation and times of want and woe, wheat has been our savior, our grub, our gruel, our dough. There's always lots of problems when we have enough to eat, but there's only one dilemma when there's not enough wheat. We feed you.
Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 18 of Wheat All About It, or what I'm calling Behind the Curtain with Matthew Weaver. The title is a bit of a double entendre in that it has two meanings. First, because Matthew Weaver, staff reporter for Capitol Press in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho for the last 9 years, pulls the curtain aside to speak on the record about covering Eastern Washington's wheat beat. The second meaning derives from the fact that Weaver is a produced playwright with several credits to his name and a new short play being performed in Brooklyn this summer. Weaver, who is 36, arrived at the Wheat All About It World headquarters recently to record our interview. For those of you who haven't met him, there's a photo on our Facebook page. Search for Wheat All About It. For those of you who have met him, or even seen him from a distance, there's no forgetting Weaver. A big man, Weaver is also a sweet man, who brings his smile to any occasion. His predecessor at the Capitol Press was otherwise inclined. His predecessor was me. Now, I have many positive traits, but bringing my smile to any occasion probably isn't one of them. Matthew is also a very different reporter from me. I suppose you might say I'm more adversarial. I felt it wasn't my job to have people like me, which is not to suggest Matthew thinks it's his job either. It just comes naturally. I've listened to this podcast several times now during its production, and each time I can't help but smile as Weaver tells the story of his good fortune when the first play he ever wrote was picked up and produced. Writing is such hard work, it's nice to see a nice guy being rewarded. Speaking of which, if you missed it before, go back to the final segment of Episode 5 to hear some of my background and influences as an agricultural reporter in Eastern Washington for 22 years and Director of Communications and Producer Relations here at the Washington Grain Commission for the last 9. But for now, let's go to my conversation with Weaver. I ask him to describe his background.
Born and raised here in Spokane, Rogers High School, class of 1999, and then went down to Washington State University where I studied journalism. While I was here at Rogers, I worked for my school newspaper every semester but one, and I went reporter, and then I was a page editor, and then I was actually editor my senior year, and then I also wrote for the Spokesman Review. They had a teenager section at the time, Our Generation, and I did book reviews, and then the occasional feature for them as well. And then I liked that a lot, so I went down to Washington State University, studied journalism, and then also worked for their school newspaper, the Daily Evergreen, for all 4 years, and worked in Moses Lake from 2003 to 2008. I was the business and agriculture reporter there and graduated from that position, maintained those beats, but went and became the senior staff writer, which meant they could kind of throw anything at me as well. That was a really good experience. And then for the last coming up on 9 years, I've been working for the Capitol Press.
Now, you had no agricultural background. You were just like me. You just came into this fresh.
No agricultural background. Mom and dad, mom taught, I think it was 4th and 5th grade at St. Aloysius School until I came along. And then my dad is a former parking meter guy for the city of Spokane. And before that, grandparents were railroad people. So we know hard work really well. But yeah, probably goes back a couple more generations before you hit farmer. I hope that that lack of experience makes me come in as a blank slate rather than coming in with preconceived notions. So I'll say, oh, you're doing this. Why are you doing that? Versus, oh, you're doing this. Why are you doing that? But it was a very welcoming community. And so the best example, I guess, I have is I was there in Moses Lake and working for the paper there when the Odessa sub area, the memorandum of understanding, they started the restarted those efforts to try to help get the replenish the aquifer. And I attended a couple meetings and I was good at repeating what people were saying, but I didn't get it. I didn't get it yet. And then one of the farmers, Clark Cagle in Odessa, he said, come on out with me. We're going to do a little tour. And so we drove around his neighborhood and he said, that's my neighbor, failed. That's my neighbor, well is failing. Those are my neighbors. They're doing well. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, now I get it. There's emotion to this. I can understand this. I get where everybody's coming from now.
Do you think there is such a thing as objectivity?
I hope so. My goal isn't to, I don't have a side in the story. My goal is to accurately reflect what the people I'm talking to are talking about. So a lot of times after like a Grain Commission meeting or something, I'll pull someone aside for a couple minutes and say, okay, this is what I think I heard you say in the meeting. Am I on the right track? Do I need some clarification? And sometimes I do, and sometimes they're like, yep, you got it right on, which is like, okay, good.
So you're saying that you come into any story with no preconceived notion.
Jerry Snyder from Ritzville came up to me at one of the field days and pulled me aside when I had just kind of started. And he said, this is what we need to know. We need to know three things. And I'm paraphrasing, so Jerry, I'm probably getting it wrong. He said, we want to know, how does it affect our wallet? How does it affect our wallet? How does it affect our wallet? And so that's kind of, and we're a business newspaper too. So my job is to say, this is what's happening. This is how it impacts the farmer. And then try to present as balanced a viewpoint of that so that the farmer can make an informed decision.
So when did you know that you had the writing bug?
Probably like elementary school, I knew I liked writing stories for like just in third grade. And it was probably really like that summer right before high school writing the book reviews for the Our Generation. Because I had worked for, not worked, but I was part of a little library group on North Spokane where we got to read books and then review them. And that translated into writing book reviews for the Our Generation. And so I remember the first day there was my byline by, and it was like, that's really cool. And I really liked the storytelling aspect about it. I liked when people trust me with their story to tell it accurately. Also like shining a spotlight on maybe people who don't necessarily always get the spotlight. So that's something I really enjoy about it.
Scratch a reporter, however, and you're bound to find a writer underneath. And by that I mean, a lot of us reporters, or former reporters, would like to write fiction of one sort or another. But being the intelligent people we are, and knowing the odds of success are stacked against us, we hedge our bets with one of the best fallback professions a person who loves words could have. Weaver said his parents provided the final confirmation for his job choice.
Yeah, my mom and dad said, you need a day job because you like to eat. And so that's what the newspaper was. And then so I try to keep kind of a good work-life balance. And the Capital Press affords that. The Moses Lake paper affords that, too. It's a good it's good job. Some weeks you are very busy, but I'm also able to kind of – I try to do – after writing for work, I try to do at least a half hour of fun writing a day or something that somehow – moves the pleasure writing forward a little bit. So that can be submissions, that can be talking with other people about writing, like occasional writing groups and things like that.
It sounds to me that you like to work with words. I mean, do you know where that love of words came from?
Well, with my entire family, we like wordplay and we're always like making puns and dry comments that maybe other people would be like, wait, what is that? And so, but we all kind of keep it pretty, like keep ourselves entertained. I'm very close with my dad, my mom, my brother, there's 5 years difference, and that we're all here in Spokane together. So
was it intimidating at all to come after me?
No. In fact, like I would ask my editors a question and they'd say, like, I'd say, how does this work? And there'd be a little pause and they're like, you better call Scott. So I want to say thank you very much because you did help quite a bit. And so I don't know if you remember, but I think if you go back to those first emails, there's kind of a natural progression of who do I talk to about this? And then after a couple of months or so, well, my first goal, my goal for any job for the first year is just survive, because it was more frustrating because I didn't have the context. You need, which is so important. You need to know this is why this is important. This is why this has come up. And then after that first year, you're like, okay, I survived. I made it. Now we can kind of actually settle in and actually do some, see what we can do with this.
Now, you've always struck me as a Sergeant Joe Friday kind of reporter, as in, you know, just the facts, ma'am. How would you describe your reporting style?
That's probably fair. Maybe hopefully a little more like, occasionally I think of myself kind of like Columbo, where I'm like, okay, hey, oh, I've got one more question. And the farmers or whoever it is like, oh my goodness, you still have questions. But hopefully it translates into accurately getting the information.
Well, let's switch gears just a bit. Now, you have another portion of your life where you are not Matthew Weaver, the reporter for Capital Press. You are Matthew Weaver, the playwright with produced plays.
Yeah.
I just think that is wonderful. Now, why did you concentrate on playwriting?
That's kind of where the positive reinforcements come from. I've kind of dabbled in everything. I have several books sitting and gathering dust in drawers. I have a couple screenplays that I also am kind of sending out in rotation. And the playwriting, when I was in Moses Lake, one of the things in addition to covering business and agriculture, this was my interest outside was, I would get to go and do previews of the theater. Just, I thought of it kind of as like gathering good karma for down the road. It's like, okay. So I would fight to do play previews and go to like dress rehearsals at the theater in Soap Lake, Maskers Theater, and take pictures while they would do a dress rehearsal. And then we'd do an advance and let people know here this play is. Talk with the directors, talk with the cast. And so when I moved back here and there were no longer, it wouldn't have been a violation of journalistic ethics or anything like that. I had wanted to try to finish something, write a play and to completion. So I did that. And there was a director there, Randy Brooks, that I felt comfortable enough. I called him and said, okay, I've written a play, first play I've ever written. Would you mind reading it and telling me what I did wrong? And so a couple of weeks went by and he called back and he said, Matthew, I read your play. And I'm like, uh-oh, all right. And he said, can I show this to our artistic director? This kind of works. And I was like, you're welcome to show it to whoever you want to, Randy. And so a couple more weeks went by and then Bev Hasper, the artistic director, called me back and said, Matthew, I read your play. And I'm like, okay, uh-oh. And she said, can we put this on? This really works. We'd like to stage this. And I was like, this isn't how it's supposed to work. and so, of course, naturally, I said yes. And that was about, I think, about 2013. Yeah, and that was a full-length play, a farce called Bed Ride. I had read Neil Simon's autobiography, Rewrites, and one of the things that he said was farces are very good, but they're also very difficult, and you only write farces if you're crazy. And I was like, challenge accepted, Neil Simon. So, so I did, and that was about a married couple. The outhouses, because that made me happy. They're both confined to their bed. She is pregnant and just about to give birth, and then he broke both of his legs. So they have a nurse who comes in to take care of them, and then his brother is coming to help out, and the nurse kind of has a thing for bad boys, and the brother is kind of a ne'er-do-well, and the brother brought his bimbo girlfriend, Twinkie. And it all takes place within the confines of their bedroom, and so it was a comedy. And I wasn't ever nervous until opening night when we're sitting there and all of a sudden there's this big red curtain on stage. And I was like, all of a sudden that made it real. I was like, oh, if this doesn't go well, we're stuck here for 2 hours and it's my fault. And then the curtain opened and the actors started saying their lines and I just relaxed. I was like, they've got this. And it was just a roller coaster. It was life affirming.
As a podcaster who considers himself a writer first, I know most writers incorporate themselves or aspects of themselves into their fiction. So I was looking for Weaver as I read his plays, and I didn't find him. When I brought it up, he said I just didn't know him well enough.
I see myself in all of it. I think if you knew where to look, you'd probably see. Because, I mean, like, I can write a hopeless romantic who's awkward with girls and stuff like that. That I know real well.
One of your plays, your short play, Friday Nights at the Food Court, where did that idea come from? I mean, were you sitting at a food court overhearing something?
That particular idea, again, going to the hopeless romantic, it's two tables at in a food court. One is, and this is kind of a little bit autobiographical, an older brother and his younger brother, and they're there shopping for shoes, and the older brother is a hopeless romantic who's kind of bad at girls. And so that, a little of me in there. And then at the other table is like the girl he likes and a couple of her friends who they're totally different existences, worlds, anything like that. So, I mean, that kind of idea kind of came to me fully formed and latched on and was like, you have to write this and get it down.
How much time do you devote to marketing yourself and your plays?
I think that goes into the 30 minutes a day. The forward momentum is kind of what I'm looking for. So I might not actually write that day, actively write, but I'm submitting or I'm doing something to progress that goal forward.
And 30 minutes a day, I mean, is that enough?
Some days it's too much, and then it could be, like I said, but that's manageable because you can find 30 minutes. You can break it into two 15-minute segments, or you can break it into three 10-minute segments.
But there are other days that you devote yourself to writing, I would imagine, right?
Right. It all balances out. And then some days, like during particularly busy periods, the Spokane Egg Expo or the Tri-State Grain Conference, I try to work a couple days in advance on the pleasure writing so I'm not behind. And then sometimes you're behind and you're like, well, I got to catch up this time. So you actively try to do that. And then some weeks are so busy, you're like, you know what? It's not happening this week. Forgive it and move on. But I hope it all balances out.
I'm impressed by Weaver's work ethic. It's tough writing all day for a living and then writing some more for pleasure. And I'm putting air quotes around the word pleasure. A popular novelist once said something to the effect that the only difference between him and the thousands of other writers who started out at the same time as him is that he was the only one that continued. From what I can see, Weaver is continuing. He's indefatigable. He sees the silver lining even in the face of criticism, which he deals with as part of an online playwriting group.
That's a good experience for me because it helps me to give feedback, but it also is helping me to learn how to receive feedback. And sometimes you get somebody who completely doesn't like your play for whatever reason. And so you have to kind of weigh that. It's like, okay, what are they telling me when they say they don't like it? I call it letting it percolate. I have to kind of think on, well, okay, do they have my immediate reaction is like, how dare they? And this is genius. But after a while, after that response is gone, you kind of like, well, I guess I can see where they're coming from, and you kick rocks and everything like that. And then sometimes you're like, all right, they really didn't have anything in their feedback that would help me. And then sometimes it's like, I think what they're actually telling me is this play is lacking this. And then it's a choice of, do I agree with that or not? Sometimes it's like, well, they probably have a point, but I really like the play as is, but I can use that for a future play. And then sometimes it's so obvious that it's like, that's what was missing. I can change that and then take credit. Though sometimes I do say, well, this was because somebody told me I need this. So
I'm a good writer, but there are a lot of good writers. Just as in wheat farming, marketing makes all the difference. And as one who has been there, I can attest to the fact that it's not enough to be a good writer. Weaver's right. You've got to put a lot of keys on the kite string.
I kind of think of myself as kind of like Ben Franklin in a way. I've got the kite up there. I'm putting key after key after key after key out on the string and hoping lightning's going to strike in a couple of places. But it would be nice to get to that point where you have a little more of that artistic collaboration where it's like, okay, Matthew, you wrote something. Let's put it on. Okay, I'm a performer. Matthew, I like your writing. What could you write for me? And kind of have something where you have kind of a continual cooperative effort of let's get everybody out there. Let's get everybody collaborating.
I wasn't sure about Weaver when he took over my job at the Capitol Press. We were so different. But over the years, I have come to respect his style of reporting. He's honest, straightforward, and he has no hidden agendas. In other words, he's a man of integrity. I'm posting links on our Facebook page to two of Weaver's plays we talked about during our conversation. Don't forget, if you plan on being in Brooklyn this summer, Friday Nights at the Food Court is being performed there. Wahoo for Weaver. That's it for episode 18 of Weed All About It, or what I'm calling Behind the Curtain with Matthew Weaver. Hope you have all enjoyed the show. According to our website statistics, hundreds of you are listening, but we need more. Next time you're sitting across from a friend, use your phone to show them the summary of podcasts posted so far on the Washington Grain Commission website at wagrains.org. That's wagrains.org. Then cue up one of my Weed All About It songs.
Out in the country where a woman's called a gal, she's more than a lover, she's a farmer's best pal. We marry them for life, we marry with a vow, and even in the night we know how to plow. Our children have two parents, our children have a home, they don't grow up with no edible syndrome. We're the backbone of this country, the spirit of its soul. Best you ask for whom the bell tolls. We feed you. We feed you.